I think we have Mark here, the financial guy. Let's see if Mark has stuff to talk about, whatever. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Good. Glad you showed
up. Hey, Ion, you're just talking about what's going on with Trump and Hillary. Did Comey change
Who?
His mind and reopen
Who?
The... Trump and Clinton.
Oh, you mean President Trump? Yeah. And who
President
was the other
Trump.
Person? We're not.
Is that why
person?
Comey reopened the investigation?
Who was
so
the other person? Who was the other person?
Okay. Trump.
She was indicted. No, she was indicted. Go ahead.
Okay, she was indicted. Here's my question: did Comey, James Comey, did he reopen the investigation so that when Trump becomes president, he'll have a job?
No, not to so he have a job, so he wouldn't be killed and put.
So he wouldn't be part of the draining of the
pitchforks.
Swamp.
It's pitchforks and torches.
Yeah,
and
I
they
can't
know
wait.
It. And you can't have Loretta Lynch running around here with her little biased position. Maybe they need to have a tea party somewhere and see if the Mad Hatter has something to say regarding it.
Hey, now shifting to something else here. Last time I talked to you, you mentioned Bob bought Johnson Matthey, and so I tried to go in and search for the Reg G.
Just the refining portion of it. That's all he was interested
okay.
in.
Okay, refining of the metals. Refining of the ore?
Yes, of course.
And the reason
and
he would do that, here's my thought on that. I know Bob is somewhat connected to Southern Company, and they're really expanding their solar business, and silver is a key component of solar, the panels. So is Bob doing that to have a uninterrupted supply of silver to Southern Company?
No, he already has an uninterrupted supply of silver, but the silver is not what you use. It's actually osmium that you're going to be using, but they don't really know that. Oh, damn, Bob, there you go again, telling the secret. Bob said that. We did not say osmium. We did not do it. We didn't say it. We're going to deny
you
it.
You fucking asshole.
We're never going to say it no more. Never going to say it no more. Never this time.
Nobody heard
never
that.
Never.
I'll get Bill to delete that. Don't worry. We'll delete
mark
it.
That. Yeah, okay. Delete it. I disavow. Yeah, that's how it goes. Okay, good. Okay, now proceed.
Delete it just like Mary McLuhan. Here's,
she was too drunk. She didn't even
hey,
know.
Hey,
she
that's
deleted.
A low blow, Mark. You fucking watch yourself, Mark. Just think you'll never have access to it again. You don't live, folks. Hey, I'm just fucking doing
I'm
that.
I'm the one that reminded
Jesus
you
Christ.
About it. Okay, listen. I was, you mentioned.
We like this one, Bob. He's alive. We like him.
You know, you mentioned contracts to Bart. Talked about. Force majeure, and you mentioned, there's been a lot of dialogue from Trump about when he gets elected, he's going to renegotiate contracts and trade agreements and things like that. I noted 2 weeks ago when they handed out the Nobel Prizes for economics, the two U.S. professors, they were given the Nobel Prizes for contract law and how it relates to the future monetary policy.
Or lack thereof. Because if you look at their actual papers, it's the lack of contract law and how they sustain it. But, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, well, these two guys have produced theories in the past years that have been implemented into the monetary system. And one of the things they're looking at now is executive pay and is it fair and all that stuff. But does this contract law theory have anything to do with the Trump campaign and the possible renegotiations that may go on?
Well, it depends on how much Mexico pays us for the Constitution first. We got to see. Because if we get a good price, then that's good. But see, if you're going to get the Riksbank's prize, you better know what you're doing, right?
I guess. So, okay, so there may or may not be any connection there.
There is a connection.
There is a connection. Now, I'm wondering also, we did a rapid fire a couple weeks ago, and we touched on a lot of financial issues, and I'm wondering if that the change of contract law would have anything also. It's probably widespread with their...
Stop.
Yeah.
Go back. Do the Oliver Hart. You're missing Oliver Hart. Do the Oliver Hart part.
Oliver Hart and Bent Holmstrom are the two professors, the first Hart from Harvard and the other...
Cambridge. It's Cambridge. It's not Harvard.
Yeah,
he's
a Brit. But doesn't he currently teach out of Harvard?
But it's Cambridge. Yeah.
Okay.
It's different.
And the other, Holmstrom is out of MIT.
See, the contract theory, stop all that. The contract theory that you're trying to say is that it moves outside of the balance of the ruler. The ruler doesn't rule. So the writer of the paper is not the predecessor of the signer. So the way contract law is now is if whoever presents the contract, someone agrees to it, they are subverting their position to agree in this moment in time that this is an agreement. Okay? This work changes everything. It moves it to a different... His philosophy is that it's going to change, that the agreement doesn't pull that back. The agreement now includes and drags them into it. So anything that happens goes down with the ship. Everything on the ship belongs to the contract, not the agreeer or the instigator. The scienter is the one that's the heavy. The scienter is the one that's the heavy. That's huge. That's huge, huge, huge.
Okay. Does that mean everything you just said, that gives the...
No, it tells you how to get out of it. It tells you how to get out of it.
Okay, but the person agreeing to the contract isn't signing over their rights.
They don't have any rights anyway. They don't today. They don't have... Well, you're saying that, but they don't have any rights today. They don't have any rights.
Okay, but
or less.
No, you're right. Okay, so this will change that and balance that out. Correct?
Well, that was the opinion. The opinion was that he got a prize because of his high-minded thinking that contract law is not. And the new way to see it is this. And the new way to see it includes an outcome that would now change force majeure forever.
Okay.
We had to get you there because Bob gets real pissy when you go into a big point and we don't land anywhere, because we could then still talk about Melania's vagina or something. It would be much more fun to us, but, you know, that's how it goes.
Yeah. I want to retrace some of the rapid-fire things I asked you a couple weeks ago. I said, are we going to have hyperinflation or deflation?
Bob, have we ever spoke to this person before? This is new.
Okay.
Nice.
Maybe I've changed my algorithm a bit. I don't know.
We'll see.
I'm going to get to that one in a second. Okay, I posed the question to you, are we going to have hyperinflation or deflation? And you said neither. If I would have said inflation versus deflation, would the answer have been different?
Yes, it would have been hyperdeflation.
Hyperdeflation?
Absolutely. We're going to repatriate all the money. You're going to bring all the money. You're fixing to wipe off $20 trillion in debt. You're fixing to wipe out $20 trillion in debt. That means M0 is going to have to come up with 20 trillion reasons why it is not.
Yeah, I want to get to the M1 and M0 money supply in a second, but wiping that debt, that's going to be part of what we've talked about, the Jubilee, right?
Yeah, but you're not... But see, that's not true. That's not good. We're getting rid of debt. That's getting rid of money.
Yeah. When you pay off debt or cancel it, you destroy money.
No. Well, you have to. You obliterate debt. When you pay off a debt, you're destroying money.
Right.
Because, see, the MO is the money supply that combines liquid cash and the assets held in the central bank.
Okay, but that, you know, that's a very small amount. Here's what I think I know, Ion. M1 and M0 is about $3.3 trillion. And your actual folding money in your pocket and coins, that's about $1.4 trillion. So that's not going to go away. I mean, that's physical money in existence right now, and well, some of it could be digits and bank accounts, but
most of it is digits, and most of it is superfluous. See, you're sitting here talking about all this; it's ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. Happily ridiculous, but you don't even, they don't even publish what M. Well, again, okay, if that's true, what's M2?
Well, I think they publish M2, but not 3.
Tell us what they publish as M2.
Okay, I think it's, the last time I looked, months ago, it was like 12 trillion.
Then how do you owe 20?
Because of our credit system. We just create money out of thin air.
No, you don't. If you're borrowing money, that's not creating it out of thin air. You are actually making money.
Yeah, but we're borrowing money.
But the borrowed money is owed to whom? What you got to do is you got to recalculate this whole thing.
Yeah.
So that's what they're fixing to do. That's what force majeure is fixing to do for you. And we don't see that as a jubilee. See, you'd be better off if you owed a $250 billion. You got a better chance of having some. Now, a loaf of bread's going to cost you $1.6 million, but then you don't really care when you get to those kind of numbers, right? So it's now back to relative.
Yeah.
So if you brought it all the way back down to where Bob's gold standard works, or the drops become the actual currency in a fiat kind of sort of way, all of a sudden you won't have to charge it in money. You have the drops, you live. You don't have the drops, you're dead. Okay, next thing. Now you can divvy up what's left with what they got. You just have to have a committee. The itty-bitty-titty committee can come subdue and take all over the dead people's stuff. And then we can take all the dead people's stuff. Do you take their debt, too? Oh, no, we're going to get rid of the death tax. Why don't we just let dead people pay all the taxes, and then we don't have to pay any taxes at all? What about that? You don't need an IRS. You can just have the IR dead.
Well, doesn't all the tax money go to the IRS? Doesn't that get funneled through to the Fed?
No, none of it does.
None of it does? Okay.
How did they spend $20 extra trillion? The taxes aren't going into the pay the bills. You're just borrowing that. That's going into other people's pockets.
That's true. Hey, let me,
everybody's talking about all this stuff, and everybody's like, all the tax-paying citizens, who the fuck's paying taxes anyway?
Half of them don't.
Well, that's the only ones that have Obamacare, and they're only paying $10 a year. Well, somebody's paying for it.
Hey, let me move to a different subject. That's more important to me, Ion.
We lack economy, but that's funny. It is a rabbit hole, though, and that's going to be shifted.
It is. And you confuse my mind when I start going down that
path. Well, all we do is we just state the obvious, and then when it's so obvious, and then you look at it and you go, well, that's ridiculous. That's obvious. And we go, yeah, kind of, sort of. And you go, well, how are they saying this? How are they saying this? Blah, 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 blah. Then you want to go kill yourself or something. So, yeah, it's a good day.
Hey, I think in the conversations I've had with you over the 2.5 years, past 2.5 years, the most important thing, I didn't get it when you were saying it, but this happened on September 11th show. I went back and listened to it, and that's where you were telling me that I have no way to calculate the algorithm to get a predicated outcome, and that my viable bias has to connect to some frequency that repeats, and it doesn't. You know, that explains a lot about what I've experienced over my life. Now, you told me that I asked, what can I do to correct that? And you said, pygmy porn.
Nice. Yeah, midget porn is great. You should really try midget porn.
Okay.
It'll do you right.
Now, how would that help?
Thinner, it'll be great.
How would that help?
It changes. It takes you out of the labyrinth that you lost in. It takes you out of the loop. It takes you into something obscure, macabre, outside. The Marquis de Sade, he didn't give a shit about anything. Oh, wait, he played in that. Oh, wait, yeah, that's a whole other conversation. He was just, it became a literal body-based bliss.
Yeah.
So it takes you out of the soup. Takes you out of the soup. Which is the point. It's not the problem, it's the point. And so, that was also what they call a glib, cliched archetype, because we tell everybody to try pygmy porn, so it's okay.
Okay.
But anyhow, then what happens is you're out of the loop, and the world can then start occurring with what you don't know. When you can have a world that occurs with what you don't know, then you can survive. But if you got to know, it's going to be bad. Bob's done it for years. He doesn't even know what this is about. He'll say, Ion, did you say something? Wait a minute. Who is Ion? It's been one long Alzheimer's raged reality since Bob was a very little boy.
Now, Ion, how did I get myself into this?
You chose.
You chose to
separate yourself from your body, to put it in a cardboard box. Uh-oh, you're going to have to listen to Tiki Taki again. Oh, Bob just hates Tiki Taki.
I listened to it last night a couple times.
I know it's terrible. You're going to make it in little boxes made of Tiki Taki. It's terrible. You're going to cause Bob. He's going to get cross with you. He will. He'll get cross with you. Don't have to worry. It's not like Carolyn, but it's pretty bad. So you got to get to the place where you can say, wait a second, this is a place of knowing or not.
Yeah.
And if you don't know, then you don't care. And if you don't care, then it doesn't affect you. Then people can do whatever they want to do. But wait, people are going to do whatever they're going to do anyway, right?
Right.
Okay, so now you're trying to find some stasis basis to say, I have a choice and I like this one over that one. If you don't have a basis to plug into, you have no YouTube to hear if it's too loud or not. And those without ears can't vetch about the volume level. So you got to get ears. Once you get your ears on, hey, you got Bob, you got your ears on, get your ears on. If you got your ears on, then you can say, yes, I prefer one of another.
So what you're saying, and are you still there?
We left 8 days ago.
Okay. You know, just like you tell people every week about Bob, he doesn't care. He doesn't know where the gold is. He doesn't care about money. He doesn't care about anything, and it flows to him. You know, I'm not the only one that has that problem, because most of us have put our power in the cardboard box, right?
In a cardboard box, living in a box.
But there are some people walking that I think are on their frequency, the correct frequency, that allows them to repeat results that they desire.
Yep, some do it very well. And then they still make contrast, though. But sometimes, you know, sometimes even JW, he'll stir things up sometimes just to see for fun. But then it comes right back to the way he wants it anyway. And it's all good. It's all easy.
Yeah. You know, because
he's not so jaded with it.
See, I always thought that because my birthday is in May, and you know the horoscope. That's, you know, I'm a Gemini twins.
Yeah. It's the April, May, and November. All the rest have 31. It never was any good anyway, so it don't matter anyhow. That's the load your mama should have swallowed. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. Gemini. Got it. Fish in a bucket or two twins or wonder twin powers activate or something. Okay, whatever. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I always thought that I may have had two personalities. I have an introverted and an extroverted.
Yuck. That's something that I might have to figure out. So then you can blame everything you don't like on one and acclaim the everything you do like to the other. So now it's a constant battle with you, with the good new you and the old new you and the old good you knew you that knew that you could knew you could blame everything you didn't like on what you didn't knew that you knew would be the new that you didn't know that you knew. So now you know that the new that you knew that you didn't know might be the new that you knew or the new that you know that you knew. So it becomes the present relatively blamable node. The blamable node.
But Ion, you basically 2 weeks ago said, or a month ago, you said that, you know, I throw the ball up in the air, it comes down. I throw it up in the air, it comes down. I throw it up.
It doesn't come down,
and I don't know why.
And then you just throw another ball.
Okay, but that's basically the same thing as, you know, the ball just doesn't keep coming down, so I don't know why. So that's why I tried to...
Right, and that's the degree of separation. So don't blame it on the evil twin that doesn't know. Then embrace it backward to say, whoa, now hold on. Plate spinners, do you know the job of the plate spinner? The people, those two, they keep spinning plates, but inevitably the damn plates fall off and break.
Yeah,
every time they spin the plates, finally they fall off and break. And they don't know why they fall off and break. They spin them and spin them and spin them. They keep them up a long time. They just keep spinning. Hundreds of plates. You're spinning, China, bone China, chun, spinning. All this stuff. And the next thing you know, they're all falling and broken. And you're like, damn, why would I be a plate spinner if they finally fall down and go boom sooner or later?
Right. Okay.
That's a bad analogy, but it's the best one we can do with the limited resources for which we've made available to ourselves.
So your advice to me is just totally get out of the labyrinth.
Let the labyrinth lab. Let the labyrinth lab. In the lab, throw the ball. Just keep throwing the ball. If it doesn't come down, throw the ball. It's okay.
Okay.
Those things that you don't know, you didn't know anyway. And if you're not going to know what you didn't know, you might as well not know. What if it would be worse with knowing that you didn't know what you knew? What if you knew that you didn't know that you knew? That would be sucky. I know that I don't know this. That's when it's bad. I don't know that I don't know. Even Rumsfeld, we don't problem with this is we don't know what we don't know. That's the trouble with not knowing. We don't know what we don't know. But if you know what you don't know, that's fucked up.
Right.
You could rewrite some contract law then if you knew what was not going to work and include that in your contract.
Hey, new subject. Do you know, I know you know everything, but Tri-Alpha Energy. Familiar with Tri-Alpha Energy? They've been working on their version.
Well, sort of.
Yeah, they claim that by 2025, they expect to have a cold fusion commercial plants available and... Are they spinning their plates in here and spinning their wheels?
There's nothing in the Foothill Ranch, California that's ever going to do anything. Don't you worry. There is no plasma physics that applies to this knowing. And if that's the case, they'd already have it. They wouldn't have to be pining and bragging about how big their penis is. They'd be busy standing in awe, worshiping that very penis.
Yeah.
Fission reactors do not work.
I'm not going to focus on it then. Hey, I mentioned that the algorithm thing was the most important thing you said to me, but I've been thinking about what would be behind that, and you've mentioned this to me many times about being selfish, and I think that would probably apply to many of us, that unless you put your regard above everyone else's, how can you ever ascend?
You can't. You have to. Yeah. And that's why all this secret and all this power, what is that guy, Norman Vincent Peter or Peter Appeal? No, that's Peter Beater. No, Peter Beater got it. He could do okay with it. And Garrett Dean. Yeah. Garrett Dean can get it. That's all good. But anyway, that's another conversation. So then what happens, it's like Irvine, California. You just really can't arrive there until you get there. When you get there, then you'll know you got there. But until you get there, you never know. Okay, so now what happens is when you know that that's a capacitation, you can change predicated outcomes.
Now, let me ask you this. If you've got a person in your life that is a roadblock, I think I know what your answer is.
Yeah, be like Margaret Thatcher in the Falklands, blow their shit up. It's easy. It's the same thing Donald Trump said on Border Patrol. We're no longer going to let radical Islamic terrorists come into the United States.
Well, Mr. Trump, how are you going to stop the terrorists from coming into the country?
Very simple. They come to the thing and say, are you a radical Islamic terrorist? And if they say yes, shoot them in the fucking head. Bam. They're shot in the head. The third person you have to do that to, not a single one will answer the question that way. Not a single one. There won't be any more. And the next thing you know, once they get to that position and they see it, it'll change everything. There won't be anything to hate. Now all of a sudden, you basically fly, swatter, swat. Get the difference?
You know, that's why I picture the synergy that's, with Jenny and Greg and the fact that they're both on the same page and they can, reinforce each other and they have something really in common when, you know, Bob's joked with me, you know, I can't even tell my buddies about this because they'll think you're nuts.
So are all the Trump supporters that are out in the United States now. It's the drain the swamp motif.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. Because why aren't there 90 million people on this call right now? Well, there's a lot more than Bill knows about, but that's okay. He can't even hold a server together long, so we have to do what we do.
Okay, so being selfish is super important.
Yes.
Hello?
It is very
you're there.
Key. It's
you're
key.
There. I've been wanting to ask you this for a long time. My brother-in-law has been involved in a group for many, many years. I've watched a couple of the programs, and they channel a guy by the name of Adamus Saint Germain. And I can't believe that's the same Saint Germain that we talked
about.
It's
not. They just hear words like they do everything else, like DNA. Everybody in the world is talking about DNA and RNA right now, only because Dr. Dean started using it. And now everybody's talking about the new amino acids. Everything's about amino acids. Nobody gave a shit. Nobody even knew what lysine was for until Dr. Dean started talking about it. Now everybody and his brother is trying to patent shit on it, and it's not working, but it's okay because we didn't give it all. We just gave most of it. So they can do their thing, and it'll be okay. But that cloud is moving, so that's why you can know that they moved. Ta-da!
There's
it happened first with Smash Brothers.
There's not much
nothing
to it.
No. They're just mocking it, and that's good because see, that's the pornography. That's the pornography that lets you prove the real part.
Right.
Good. That's excellent. You're doing very good.
Okay. Okay, so let's go with, we'll go to Roxy and then Olivia. Okay, Roxy, go ahead.
Yesterday I found a book that is supposed to be made by Nicolas Flamel.
The guy who did the restaurant, Flamel, F-L-A-M-E-L.
He says these illustrations are from a book from Abraham, the U. And I was surprised to see there is a picture of somebody with three faces. And on one side is like a character that represents the moon, and on the other side there's a character that represents the sun, and it's like the same pattern in which we were sitting when we were there.
At the restaurant,
the
in the mirror.
Yeah, there's also the legend that he could see through mirrors, and I was very surprised because we didn't plan to go there, and it was all like set up, and somehow we enacted this archetype without knowing.
So what's the question?
I wonder what was that? How come we ended up like acting that?
So you can tell some more of Michael Scott's books.
Michael Scott, who's he?
I know he did a series of books inspired by Nicolas Flamel, and I think he says he's also related to Nick Fleming, the one that wrote the 007. I haven't read them. But no, this is the book that he saw in a dream, and an angel showed him this book made by Abraham. He used to sell books, and somebody came and sold him the book. And in one of the illustrations, is that, and also in the book there is the snake on the cross that I see as the caduceus and also as this money sign.
That alchemy is not his. He did not, no one else had this alchemy, and it's not what it says it is. It's a way to sell books. Now, what you're talking about is where it applies to you, and how it applies to you is not that book and not that additional way. The immortal Nicolas Flamel has no secret that this Scott has achieved. You, on the other hand, have. So the bringing up the reference of a point so everybody can catch up is good. His is the counterfeit. Yours is the genuine. So we get, and we know what you know regarding it because your power has increased. Now, we like that very well, but that's not the point. That's not the point. The point is that the alchemy is not the alchemist's responsibility. The alchemy is the power that makes the alchemy work, which is why you're asking the question aptly so. Now, if you want to ask it from that position, come on down.
Well, but Nicolas Flamel says this is not my book. It's the book of Abraham.
Computer says no, that's not the case at all.
But in the Bible, there is a recipe from the Abrahamian oil, and they have their recipe.
Sure. Sure, we put most of that in there. Yep.
So what about the oil? Does it still work?
Abermin oil? The Abermin oil?
Yeah. Was that also used to anoint the kings?
No.
So what is the real use of that oil that is also mentioned in the Bible?
It's just not.
Okay. Well, it's amazing
it's
because...
Because, see, what happens is you're going to bring this into the worms and the book of worms, and then you're going to bring it into a whole mess of a thing that is not. It's just good olive oil that you use to consecrate things, because it's not magic or magical or any empirical reference any more than Bob is magical. Not that. See? Because if the grimoire, if you're going to have a right grimoire, then you've got to get it to 1360, and then you've got to bring it all the way up through Exodus 30, 22 through 25, and then you're going to bring it all the way up, and you're going to bring in your little buddy within the mage and Aleister Crowley and all this kind of tic-tac, big-tac, Ecclesiastes, Gross of Calathea, and then you're going to find yourself out on a sea somewhere hanging onto a stick wondering for how Gilligan's Island ever got back put on the show anyway, and you'll be lost and undone. So before you get all that lost, let's bring you right back into the importance of holy oils, and then you can then bring it all the way up to the golden dawn, because then the hermetic order can show you sort of how the Kabbalists saw this special magical thing. We attribute that same thing to what they call the Christial liquors. Do you know the Christial liquors, the ones who worship the Christials and all that kind of stuff? See, that's some divine science or some true magic or some mystical something. It becomes one of them Thelma and Louise kind of a problem.
So, in a way, alchemy and magic is only the porn of the real chemistry and...
Well, if the Gnostics are in charge, yes. But if they're not, then it becomes a Gnostic mass. Then the cake of light makes this a whole other thing. But if you're not, you see, now you're using these things, these stratas of these magical things to make motions of potions of notion that something is outside of us. But you go, but Ion, that's what y'all have actually created here. And we go, no, actually what we've done here is we've provided or are providing or fixing to provide the containing position of what you know as manna, which changes the meat sack body once. Once it's changed, it doesn't have to be continually changed. But then you're going to find that ascension is a different conversation once you're in that side of the tracks.
Awesome. Very good evocation there, Roxy. Good stuff that you brought out of Ion.
The king at the time of Nicolas Flamel, he was just a bookseller, and all of a sudden he gives a lot of money to... build churches and to help poor people.
Yeah, and Abram ben Simon bar Judah ben Simon. Yeah, we know all about it. Abraham ben Simon bar Judah ben Simon.
Where did he live, Ion? Where'd he hang out?
The Brook, the Waden, Praknik, Vonder, Ahagen, Magino, Anino,
okay.
1608. Wolfenbüttel.
But both times we ended up in that place, we were not looking for that place. We just ended up like going
but
to...
But you weren't looking for any place. We got you there. We caused this. Do you realize how many thousands of dollars were wasted on this journey? It was ridiculous, the amount of money that was offered to the gods for this little creation. It's incredible. Do you realize how much Bob eats? For Pete's sake, it's insane. It's insane. It's insane.
So the three image, maybe me or all of us, in that mirror, how does that relate to the three image of Nicolas of Flamel, Ion? Any connection? Were we seeing him in the mirror?
You were beyond the mirror. He was looking through the mirror, but you were beyond the mirror.
So Roxy saw or took a picture of him He was the three-phase thing. That's
That's right. That's right. And if seeing the digitized version of that, there's no the digitized version would pick that up, but your lying eyes won't. So if you're going to
I spent a lot of time walking around Paris without a face from others' perspective.
Mostly. Some people are two-faced. You were no-faced, Bob.
The Templars were stopped by Bob, and the Compagnons
He also made them. It's real quick to say that he stopped them. Well, great, but he also made them. He made money off them.
I always liked
him. He made them both. He made it off both.
I found very inspiring this archetype of the spiritual warrior, and I always liked the Templars, but when they were dissolved...
You mean on Friday the 13th, when they were Friday the 13th?
Yes.
Yeah.
1307, if the calendar's accurate.
And they, as a way to revolt, the Companions that were building the cathedrals stopped. And actually, Notre Dame was never finished until the 19th century after Victor Hugo wrote the...
It's not finished to this day. It's still not finished. Yeah.
Okay,
it's almost finished. It's not completed now. It's even now not completed.
It's very interesting.
That whole
I was looking into that, and it's all about alchemy. It's not about Christianity or religion.
Correct. It's, never has been.
It's all about alchemy.
But, Roxy, Christianity is about, real Christianity is about alchemy too, right, Ion?
Well, a version of it. But if you get beyond ascension, then you don't even need that. You're done. You're good. You got it. Whoopee. Yippee-ki-yay. You got it.
What I see is that the Templars were the ones initiating, like, little men and teaching them some type of secret knowledge. And they were...
Well,
they
not
were
secret knowledge, just some knowing that was beyond them. It was beyond them. So don't make it secret, because it wasn't secret. It was just beyond them, knowing beyond them.
Beyond the teachers? Beyond the teachers didn't know what they were teaching?
They still don't. Look at what they're putting out, Bob. Look at what they're putting out. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, but your point about the imagery in the castles, the imagery is made by people who didn't know what they were talking about or trying to show.
Most of that is done by the blind. Most is by the blind.
There were many aristocrats that became Templars, but then the king and the royals were always sort of fighting with the Templars, and they controlled the banking. And it's like they need each other, but at the same time, somehow they replaced them by the Medici as the controllers of the economy.
Right.
So what
That's just the Bob effect. That's just Bob effect.
The Medicis took over from the Templars? Is that what you said, Roxy?
Yes. The banking.
Well, the money. It's all about the money. The king in his counting house counting out his money.
In a way, since the King Solomon, the financial system that is talked about with the 666 coins of gold that he has, and then until now, it's like this idea we have of money is some type of magic, because it's actually not really, I mean, it's just paper, and we think it has some value,
but this
is the thing that is going to control.
He's saying it's fiat, Roxy, it's F-I-A-T. Now, that's a system imposed on people, Ion? What's the meaning of fiat?
It's not imposed. It's what it is. It's what it is. It's a type. Give a definition of fiat, Bob, and it'll be that.
We know the phrase executive fiat. That's when
it's like a due machina. They say, okay, we got to say do something. So they have a Bartholomew's massacre to try to stop things, get order. Isn't that what an executive fiat is? And you're saying that a fiat itself is not related to the executive fiat action and meaning.
We're saying a formal authorization or proposal, a decree, adopting a legislative review program rather than trying to regulate by fiat. Decree, edict, order, command, injunction, proclamation, mandate, dictum, dictate, political union imposed through imperial fiat.
Doesn't work.
Correct.
It had a bit of an advantage and looked like it worked as long as it was the printing press. But once the printing press goes wiped out by the new digital environment,
then it doesn't work, right? So,
isn't that what you're saying?
Right. So the appraisal dropped the value from $75,000 to $15,000, rendering it worthless by bureaucratic fiat.
Okay, I got that. What's your next point, Roxy?
How does the Abraham Jewel relate to the French houses? Because he was a Levite.
Levite. True part son of Levi, true part son of God. Root in the branch of Jesse, the true.
They control the Ark of the Covenant and...
Yes, they do.
The fiat.
Nothing could touch the ark without a Levite. The dancers. The dancers for money. Dancers for money. That's what Bobby is. He dances for money.
As you said, the French had the Ark of the Covenant 11 times, and it was in Versailles. So how do the Levites relate to the French houses?
French what? The French houses?
Houses, the royalty.
Yeah, how does the Ark of Covenant relate to the French houses?
They represent what the castles were supposed to be, power holders.
We know that JW is a Leo, and we saw all these sphinxes and then the lions. And the eight was also in all the castles of Frank the First, and that's like August. And I think his birth is also August 8th. So is this lion, the Judah lion, really like a reference to JW?
It would. Pretty-eyed, pirate smile. You'll marry a music man.
Is he a Levite?
Yes. Ballerina, you must have seen her dancing in the sand.
Is he related to Abraham?
Indirectly, yes. And now she's in me, always with me, the tiny dancer in my hand.
Who wrote that, I am?
Sir Elton John.
In all these stories of these men that learn things from angels, and they're not like crazy or superstitious people. It's like Descartes claims he was taught by an angel or
handing tickets out to God. Turning back, she just laughs.
Yes, it seems like many kings could talk to the angels, to demons, to spirits, and they start trying to read these symbols or these images or these weird alphabets, but then somehow they just get the knowing.
Well, they stop trying to figure it out and start trying to do it. They quit talking about it and start doing it. See, that's what Bob has finally come to face. He's talked himself in this box that he can't get out of. Now he's quit talking about it. Now he's starting to do it. Now things are actually starting to come really visceral, tactile, in his meat state body that he can touch, feel, know. And there's an example that he can say, fuck you, I do this thing called ascension. I don't need to tell you about it. I'm busy doing it myself.
It comes fine.
So how do we start doing it, or how do we really get in touch with an angel or with an ascended?
Well, you do. You do it every day. You know the word that she comes? Doll. But oh, how it feels so real, lying here with no one near, only you, and you can hear me. When I slowly.
Sometimes it's really freaky. I'm not looking for these things, and they just.
Yeah. Hold me closer, tiny dancer. Count the headlights on the highway, Roxy.
Yeah, so for example, this type of enactment of this.
Lay me down, in sheets of linen. You had a busy day today. Hold me closer, tiny dancer.
So these things we experienced were like some type of communication with the.
Well, yeah. Indirectly, yeah.
I mean, just the fact that we talk to you is also already very amazing.
Well, it's not that you talk to us. Everybody talks to us, but we speak back. We don't speak back to everyone. Bob's got representation of that. We don't speak to everyone. Your blue jean baby, an L.A. lady, a seamstress for the band.
But what about this snake in the cross?
Oh, the pirate smile? Yeah, you'll marry a music man.
So this became the symbol of health and wealth and DNA.
Well, you must have seen her dancing in the sand.
He's like the center of the garden and. I was reading in some interpretations of the images by
oh, how it feels so real, lying there with no one near, only you, and you can hear me.
They say the column is like the straight path of ascension, and the snake is the long way that others might take. That's the representation of the snake.
F-A-C-E, and every good boy does fine. Mark the note, mark the treble clef. Lay me down in sheets of linen.
So is this why you use the column, that is the straight path?
Yes, it is. Yep.
And why did Leonardo build then the stairs as a spiral?
Well, maybe, well, but that's becoming.
But in the middle, also in the Chateau de Mont, we were not there because it's not in La Loire. It's like a little pentagon. There is also this type of a stair, and in the center of the stair is like a column of light.
Well, it's not light. It's the absence of darkness. There's a difference.
Was Leonardo trying to say the column is the light, or why would he build the stairs around this column of light?
The absence of darkness.
Also, in the entrance of the Louvre, in the pyramid, there is a spiral stair. Some people say Mitterrand looked exactly like the pharaoh Seti. And nobody understood why they built the crystal pyramid in the Louvre. They thought it's not something that goes.
Bars of bones, oh my soul.
But for example, Mitterrand knew anything about what he was really doing, if he really related to the pharaohs.
What's the name of the guy? Parallelogram? Who'd you say?
Mitterrand, the president of France.
Mitterrand, 1989.
Mitterrand.
Yeah, did he understand the esoteric stuff?
like one of the Egyptian pharaohs called Setis.
Did Midron have inside esoteric understanding, Ion?
May help a little bit, but he's dodgy. He won't last long, don't worry.
But what about Napoleon and all the people that were involved in the Louvre? Did they have an idea of the big work they were taking part of? Who was telling them what to do and who's really behind the plan? You?
Ion.
Hey.
Who instructed Mitterrand these people to do their designs for the new update of the museum? Who did anybody guide the... Babelais did it. All right.
You mentioned the pop culture book about Nicolas Flamel. You put many things in pop culture, in TV programs, in songs. Is there anything also in that book from all the things they say about Nicolas Flamel that is also truth?
Comes and goes.
So the fate of Nicolas Flamel is always changing, so the books can be one day accurate, next day not accurate.
That's what's wrong with the visual bias, the mortar of visual bias. The face is never the same.
Yeah, the illusion of the visual bias is there's some kind of static continuity going on. And that's not happening at all in anything. So there's the major point, Roxy.
Is there anything we could learn from Abraham de Jew or Nicolas Flamel? All these images, these books, or it's not worth it to get into those things?
Well, it's worth getting into to find out that it's not worth it. That's worth doing. That's the wonderful futility of the mind, the joy of the mind in thinking. Ion, are you silent for some reason?
Hey! That's Bobby.
Hey, Dobby. Well, yeah, Dobby, bounce around.
It's really amazing, all the porn that was produced before the actual thing.
Roxy, look at it this way.
And the elixir of life.
The trip.
The lip water.
Listen, I learned this on the trip, Roxy. It wasn't before. What we're doing has always been. And you got these people trying to grab at it from a little man's position. And they're all over the place, all through time and space, which is not linear. The Duke of Bourbon's still trying to get what we got. But we represent the eternal position of Garden of Eden.
He brought it forth, and he didn't care. If everybody else has cared, Bob is the creator that didn't care. He could give a shit. He doesn't care. He doesn't care
yeah,
about
it's so
things.
Irresponsible.
He doesn't care
about
us.
Oh, I got to do this. Shit, I got to do
he
something.
Doesn't do it. He just got to do anything. He doesn't do anything. If he's got to do something, he'll come up with a million and one excuses of why he can't do it. He can't find the clip. He doesn't know where the computer is. He doesn't know how the cord is. Killing it won't work. I don't know where the food is. I can't find the bathroom. Why can't I stand up and pee? I don't get it all myself. But he doesn't care because he just keeps rolling with it to the point that it makes sense. The senseless. But what we have to tell you for sure is that tears will never stain the streets of Bob City.
The first thing we did in Paris was to go into that house, and the last thing we did in Paris was to go again to that house. So why did you make us go exactly to that point? Was it because there is this legend that he really found the stone and the elixir of life?
Nobody did. We found it, Roxy.
Nobody did. We found it, Roxy.
Hey, I'm in tears now.
But until now, he was the porn, and everybody believed that he really found the stone and the elixir of life. And you said he's an immortal. He's not an eternal.
Do you mean eternal, Ion, when you said immortal, or do you mean he's a vampire?
A little bit of both in that one. It's not complete yet. It's not finished.
Right.
And what about the wife?
Well, Trump's going to be in the White House now.
Pernell, the wife of Nicolas Flamel.
Trump. No, Trump.
Okay, you're asking. He's asking about the wife of Nicolas Flamel. Do you have a question about it, particular?
He wasn't married.
Is she also still around?
He was never married.
He wasn't married.
The Templars, it seems they were not really into alchemy, but more into the building of the cathedrals and the castles.
Well, see, it wasn't quite like that, but go ahead.
No, but why was there this fight between the royal houses and the Templars? Why did Bob dissolve the Templars?
Well, you're getting into King James world now, so probably.
Basically, he was fighting over the money. Always fighting over the money.
King in his counting house, counting out his money. Good, Bob, you got it. That's good. See, Bob didn't even care to know, and he still knows. And then in 5 minutes later, he won't even remember what we're talking about, and he'll still know. And then you bring it back up again, and he'll go, 22, 2, 22, wait, no, it was a recording. So 2, 22, 22, no, 2, 21. So 12 and 12 is 24. No, that doesn't work. Let's see, 221. No, that doesn't work. 222. 222. I didn't know what I didn't know that I didn't know. Good. Next tape. Then he can learn it all fresh and new all over again. And we don't know. The Cubs haven't won in so long. We don't know if the Cubs are going to win it or not. What do y'all think? Y'all want them to win? Is that how this works? We're talking there. Bob, sorry, the segue is we've moved into the Cubs, that Wrigley Field crowd, the chewing gum people, the Wrigley's.
Yeah.
The Cubs haven't won since you were a boy. And so they haven't won since you were a boy, and they're wanting to win.
Well, did they win yesterday? How are they doing?
Computer says no. Could be a sweep.
No, they will not win? Wait.
No, you said last night. You said last night.
Well, he didn't say nothing. Are you saying the Cubs will not win, Ion, or can't say yet?
No, we said, you said that they win last night. And we said, no, they did not win last night. But the series still goes on. And there's a lot of dead people that are really excited about the Cubs even playing. So we wanted, in order for the dead people to be subdued, because they may come back, because the Cubs are down 3-1, 3-1 right now. But it won't be a clean sweep. So we're just going to have to see. But it's against Cleveland, who hadn't won it since Walter Winchell was winning the war. Winchell winning the war. That's good. That's nice. You got that.
Yeah, 4 W.
So, there you're going to go. So what you going to do now? So the segue then of what's important, Roxy. Now, what you need to know about this, what's important is the World Series. That's what's serious. The World Series is what's important here. That's really Trump today. That's Trump and Rachel stand and the trumpet of the World Series. And it's All Hallows Eve. So that's very important.
The first time I saw the phrase World Series was in McClune's Culture's Our Business, which actually posted a quote about that.
Oh, damn it. That damn coach house. That's that coach house bullshit.
Serious also sounds like Syria.
Yeah, and serious as in obsidian.
And also
the world city.
Sirius.
Yeah.
S-I-R-I-U-S.
And the radio
also.
Station. Sirius.
Right.
Radio.
Yeah.
Don't forget 156.
Okay, Rossi,
that was the Oakry. That was the Oakry station. That was the Oakry station. Bob wants it.
So what is the French Revolution like revenge from the Templars? Like they
Good
became
point.
The Freemasons and then they brought the paper money. And that was the thing that dissolved the old gold and the royal blood.
Yeah, it was Ernie Haas. Ernie Haas in the signature stamp.
Who is now doing this revolution? You, that is dissolving the money, and now it's going to...
Oh, God, Roxy, hold on just a minute. Hold on just a minute. Now Jean's going to bring her dead daddy back if the Cubs win. So that might be fun to see. Bob, should we let him win just to bring her back? But now he's going to be smelly. And just so you know, he's going to be smelly. Just so you know.
Well, bring back her dead father.
Yeah,
I saw an article.
We could do that. We could do that. We could do that. That might be fun, though, just to do it. To do it, it'd be quite a hoo-ha. Mm. But see, the landscape is changing. So the landscape, mystery landscape, is ebbing into the darkness. It's being overtaken by the light. So things are going to change. When they change, you might be able to see something in the cubby in the White House. In the White House.
There was an article in the New Yorker. They claimed the Queen said the independence of America was a bad experiment.
Well, it didn't work good for King George. It didn't work out for King George.
She proposed that maybe America should become again a British colony. I mean, maybe it always was a British colony, but officially.
Nah. That's what she thinks. She's a little bit deluded, but she could pull it off. She would rule it if they would ask her to. She'd put it on no more than she's changing anything else. But then she'd take over Germany, too. But that's a different conversation, isn't it?
Well, they're Germans, actually, right? The Windsors.
Duke. Well, the Montblotton, yes.
Okay, Roxy, just final point. The French Revolution was led by the Knights Templars disguised. What?
The French Revolution was very boring.
But was it led by the Knights Templars disguised as Freemasons?
Yeah, Templardom.
But was the French Revolution just like the porn of this revolution that is coming with the fall of the Deutsche Bank?
Yeah, rotate, lather, flip it over, lather, rinse, repeat.
Is the wealth of the Templars implicated in the Deutsche Bank?
No, Deutsche Bank failed. There is no Deutsche Bank anymore. They sold it. They're sweeping up the ashes. The king and his counting house is sweeping up the ashes right now, Bob.
Did the Rockefellers lose out because of Deutsche Bank?
They're already broke. They ain't got no damn money. They can't even make Opus One anymore. It's ridiculous. They're little money
brothers.
They're on damn Medicaid. They're on the damn Medicaid. Their Obamacare premium didn't go up because they get theirs for 9 cents a year. They don't pay no insurance. They're poor fuckers.
Who doesn't? Who'd you say?
The Rothschild.
What about the Mellons?
Now, Peggy Mellon's a little different. That's Bank of New York. They all right. They're not going to hurt. They ain't got no money, but they're not poor. They don't owe.
They also say that Deutsche Bank goes back to Pergamon and to Babylon.
It will. That's where they'll divide it up. That's where it's consumed. Well, but you got to wait. We have to get the, we got to get the swamp drained first.
Okay, Roxy, thank you very much. That was excellent. Let's give some other people a chance.
It's very fun. Thank you, Super Sugar Love.
Thank you, Super Sugar.
Okay. Mucho gusto.
Sí, hasta la bye-bye.